Scripture readings for this evening will be from 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter 3, 15. To sanctify the Lord in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who speaks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
I'm the first one up. Well, I'm here, I guess I am. Anyway, I worked out how to do a Bible study on this when I, because sometimes I share with people when I teach them. But I really struggled with how to turn that into a short talk. So we'll try it and we'll see how it goes. Book of Jonah. I think everybody knows Jonah. I think we even touched on it on BBS this past summer, didn't we? If I remember right? I think we did. Anyway, quick summary of Jonah. God tells Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. Jonah says, kind of don't like Nineveh, I'd rather just zap him, so no. And he takes off the way, hops on a boat. And God says, dude, you're preaching to Nineveh, because you're not in charge of that. So, calls a big storm, scares everybody on the boat to death. Long story short, Jonah goes to Nineveh, because he's not the one in charge, God is. And then, he preaches to Nineveh, and they repent. And he's pretty mad about that, but you know what? Nineveh repented, that's the happy ending. And that's what we know about Jonah, and that's pretty much the book of Jonah in a nutshell. Now, and I was researching stuff some time back on this. By researching, I mean Google. I don't have to do a research or not. I'm sure my high school English teacher wouldn't call that research, but... Oh well. And there's a sort of quote-unquote sequel to Jonah in the Old Testament. You go a couple books over. There's the book of Nahum. And you know how sequels are. They're never quite as good as the first. Because you kind of got half the time you're undoing something, the happy ending in the original, to do the sequel. And I guess the Old Testament kind of pioneered that because that's what Nahum is. From what I've read on this, Nahum was written about 100 years afterwards. And you know what that is, and research that. Who knows how accurate that is or not. And basically, Nineveh went right back to their old ways, and God said, enough's enough, we're shutting her down for real this time. And it goes, and it's a pretty Catholic book, it's pretty short. He just says, this is what you've done wrong, and it's coming. And the reason that got me thinking about this is usually, especially when you talk about Old Testament God, you think, fire, people getting zapped right away. Well, in this case, especially, they had 100 years to figure it out. And they didn't. You're like, 100 years, that's a pretty good long time to, you know, get it right. And that's really the point I was trying to make, and it got me thinking about this. Like I said, I struggled with how to turn a Bible study into a short talk here about this thing. Here's the moral authority and dropping the mic. But you see that a lot. If people really get that idea about God is, do something wrong, get back. And that's not really the case. But Jonah and Nahum, you had like 100 years to get it right. And I remember I did a... I showed him for Denny some time back here, and I think it was Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, in case I said the wrong word there. And you read a lot of stuff going on in there is the same stuff Jesus is laying into all the Jewish leaders for when he's around. And that's like 500 years later. Again, you've had like 500 years to get this right. Plenty of time. And you look back into other stuff, like when Noah was building the ark. I mean, he didn't just go on Amazon and order an ark. He had to actually build the place. That took, I don't remember the exact number, but it took a good while. And if I remember right, he was trying to tell people the whole time, say, hey guys, blood's coming. You better kind of get yourself right. And they make fun of him, they didn't listen to him. So it's like, you watched the guy build the ark for all this time. You had plenty of time to get it right. And really, that's the same for all of us. And on Judgment Day, you're going to see a lot of people who are going to act like, shocked and surprised that it didn't work out for you. You think you had literally your entire life to get this right. And you know, what all circumstances could work for or against the person in that case. And that's not my call, it shouldn't be, and it wouldn't be helpful if it was. But really, that's just what got me thinking about this is we worship a God that actually is very, very patient. Like, literally, in these countless decades, centuries waiting for people to get stuff right. So, we worship, and thankfully, we worship a very patient God. And I just wanted to leave that thought with you all. So I think, Jamie, I think you're up next, so you can tap in and come up here, and I'll hop out of here.
So I'm tying this in with our upcoming meeting Saturday, where we have three speakers that's going to be given an apology. And if you've read the flyer and looked at the questions at the top, does God exist? Has the Bible been corrupted? Did the events in the Bible really happen? Those aren't your traditional discussions that we have Wednesday evening or Sunday morning during Jeff or Kyle's lessons. This is more of a secular philosophy that is contradicting Christian values. And if you look back at chapter 3, verse 15, and I'll read that again, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always, notice that, always, not sometimes, but always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you, and we're to give a response in meekness and fear. So there's a way we're to respond to that. But what Paul is saying, and what Peter is saying here, Paul says the same thing in Colossians, in essence. But we're to be ready to respond to these criticisms that we see today in secularism, and we all are aware of that. And I think the younger you are, probably the more aware you are of that. But one word that we look at here, I think some versions have provide an answer. This New James says to provide a defense. And the Greek word that's used there is apologia. And I was calling it something different, but I did talk to Jordan this morning, who is a, who has a degree in Greek, and he grew, and I said, how do you pronounce this word? And he set me straight on that. So apologia, where we get the word apology. And when you think about our definition of an apology, like I mentioned, these three speakers Saturday is going to be given an apology. We think of being sorry for something or regretting something. But in the Bible, this word apologia is used, I think, 7 or 8 times. And in each instance, the Greek word, the meaning here, the sense of that is a defense or an answer. And it's kind of confusing. It took me a while to read and study many commentaries. You'll see this word apologetics, and it's becoming more and more popular. But the sense of an apologetic presentation, or there's even fields of study in apologetics, but it is a defense of the Christian faith. And that's what we'll be hearing Saturday, is a defense of the Christian faith. And let me just say this. It is a youth rally. So it's definitely imperative that we have our young here. But let me also say that it is important if you're older. A defense, and we look at it in these terms, of being able to kind of combat in a meek way some of these human philosophies. And we're kind of targeting that for unbelievers, right, that maybe hold these isms. And we're familiar with some of these atheism, there's postmodernism, there's naturalism. The God doesn't exist crowd. But something else that can happen, because we're all part of this world and we're all exposed to this, it can erode our own values and our own faith as Christians. So the speakers that we have, we'll talk to both sides of that. So if you can be here Saturday, be here. Apology is a defense, and that's how Peter uses it in this letter that he's written to really a large geographical area of Christians in what we call modern day Turkey that are under persecution. and he is preparing them and encouraging them to be able to respond in a positive way to these accusations. And apologetics is not new. If we think of it even in New Testament perspective, Jesus was an apologist, if you will. His message and the apostles' message was to mostly the Jewish crowd, right, who had a foundation in God, but they had a misunderstanding of who the Messiah was. And we go to Paul in the New Testament, and he was given a defense, and his message was to Jews, but also to the Gentiles, who were pagans, as we call them, that did not have that foundation in God and in God's way. So different tactics were used there, and we see some hints of that in Corinthians and in Colossians as well. And the early church, you know, 2nd century AD, I think probably most of us have heard the name of Justin Martyr, lived around the 170s and 180s, during a time of really intense Christian persecutions. And there were lots of accusations about Christians as cannibals. That was one accusation, because they partook of the Lord's Supper, something that represented his body, his flesh, and his blood. They were considered atheists because they only believed in one God, not the polygods of the Roman pagan religion. So Justin Martyr wrote, and you can read these are pretty interesting reads. He wrote two letters that we have to the Roman Senate and to the Emperor in defense of Christianity and why they should not be persecuted. And that's really the first non-biblical apology that, that we talk about in that sense. Today, you know, not much has changed as far as persecution and accusation in the Christian faith. But when we talk about apologetics, it's the defense of the Christian faith. And what Peter again tells us is that we are to be ready to give that defense against atheism, modernism, naturalism. And again, I'll just reiterate, it's just not for the young that are exposed to this through higher education or entertainment, but it is something important for all of us. So an unsolicited plug for Saturday, if you can clear your schedule, please be here 10 to 2, and lunch is provided. And I will defer the remaining half hour to Randall. He has 8 pages, by the way, so this should be good. Thank you.